Good evening. We are so glad you're here, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord this evening. We are going to declare who He is and all that He does. Amen. Could you stand and worship with us tonight?
I'm a man I didn't know. He told you can come back in here and just fellowship with one another. We do ask parents that you keep your kids with you, that you know where they are. Next week, this month is LL Connect Month, so we're all together on Wednesday nights. Next week, Billy and Sarah Humphrey from the City of Refuge, Baltimore, are going to be here with us. They were here last year for a night of refreshing. And I know you'll be blessed. And if you would like to bring diapers to bless the ministry in Baltimore, we had done this a year or two ago, please have them here by next Wednesday night. The third Wednesday night of the month, we're going to have hymns and hot dogs. And we're hoping that we can have that outside, an old-fashioned service of singing. And then we'll have fellowship together. And then the last Wednesday night, the 28th, is going to be picnic in the park at the pavilion, and we do need you to sign up for that night. If you're A through M, we're going to ask you to bring a side dish. We're going to supply the other things, N through Z, a dessert. So keep that in mind and get signed up for the picnic and come out every week and be blessed, if you will. In the foyer, there are some T-shirts. If you like to wear T-shirts, it'll benefit the youth group. They're really nice. You can stop there and get those. And we just want to, for those that will, after we have a little time of fellowship, we're going to gather around the book bags. We have made up about 150 book bags. People have requested from K through our kindergarten through high school. And we want to pray over them before we send them out next week. They're already packed and ready to go, so we'll give you a heads up before we do that. Let's go to the Lord together and just pray and just give God this service and open our hearts. Father, we thank you for the blessing that it is to be together, to lift up your name. We do declare that you are God and there is none like you. You are Jehovah Jireh. You're our provider. You're the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and you are our soon coming King. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We pray, God, that you would be in every part of this service and that every part would glorify you, even through the time of our fellowship, and we're going to give you the glory. Amen and amen. Greet someone, stay standing, and we're going to continue to worship the Lord tonight.
Good evening, everybody. The three of us were asked to pick a verse that declares who God is, and I chose Deuteronomy 7:9. So it's, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant to those of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. I am declaring that the Lord is faithful." These past 2 years have taught me a lot about not only how I need to have faith in God and trust him, that he is good and he will answer my prayers in his perfect timing, but also just how faithful God is to his promises. When I saw that this was one of our options to talk about, I knew that I had to go with this one because of the faithfulness that God has shown me. He will give to those who love and keep his commandments. To show you just how faithful our God is, I'm going to walk you through the last 2 years, my testimony. On March 26, 2022, Tyler and I got married. We knew pretty soon after getting married that we wanted to have kids and start a family. And within a couple of months after our wedding, we agreed that the time was right. We tried for a year to have a baby, and each month all we saw were negative tests. We prayed and prayed that God would give us a child, but we knew it was going to happen in his timing. At the women's conference on September 9th of 2022, there was an interpretation of tongues while Charlotte Music was praying over me and two other girls in the same situation. My mom was actually the one who spoke in tongues, and then Charlotte was the one who spoke what she had said over us. And she said, "I call forth life. No one is barren. You have cried out in the dark of night. I call forth life. I will fulfill my promise to you. You will weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. I will see you through." From that moment on, I knew that one day we would have our answered prayer, that I just needed to keep seeking him and he would remain faithful to us. Psalms 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." A lot of times this verse is used out of context. The Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart, but you have to delight in the Lord and grow close to him first. I spent the next few months focusing on my relationship with the Lord and seeking after his will for our lives, knowing that in his timing, his promise made to us on September 9th would be fulfilled because he is faithful. After 15 months, we spoke to our doctor, and after many tests, she determined that I was having non-ovulatory cycles, meaning I released no eggs to be fertilized. She said that our next steps would be to try medicated cycles, and we agreed to move forward with this and had two unsuccessful cycles. We both agreed that we would try one more medicated cycle, and if this one did not work, we were going to take a break. When doing the medicated cycles, you can only do 6 of them, or you will be at risk for more long-term issues and side effects from the medication. Our doctor decided to up the dose on our third medicated cycle, and much to our surprise, it worked. On June 14th, 2023, I found out I was pregnant. We were so excited that God had answered our prayers at the same time that we were just thinking about giving up. Lamentations 3:22-23. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." 9 days after I received the positive pregnancy test, I started bleeding, and 10 days after the positive test, they confirmed that we were having a miscarriage. We were heartbroken and felt defeated, but I knew that our God that we serve is faithful and that we were standing firm on his promise that he made to us. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. When we spoke to our doctor, she told us that we could do another medicated cycle at the same dose since it had worked the last time, but we needed to start it immediately. We agreed to give it one more try and did another round of medication. On July 20th, we got another positive pregnancy test, and although I was very nervous and scared that what may happen, I stood strong on his promise that was made back in 2022, and on March 31st, 2024, Thatcher Wayne Gladfeldy was born. 1 Samuel 1:27 in the New Living Translation says, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. This is only the first half of our story. Every step that we walk through as a couple, where we could only see what was right in front of us, God was there, and he knew the rest of our path looked like and remained faithful through it all. The second part of our story begins on the same day that the first part ended, if that makes any sense. March 31st, 2024. I had been in labor since Thursday that week. The 31st was a Sunday. I had a total of 64 hours in labor, and at 2 p.m. on Sunday, I finally asked for the epidural after spending close to 53 hours in labor, only to make a progress to a 4. They told me that with the epidural, I would be able to relax, which would allow my body to progress more quickly. Later that evening, I started pushing around 9:15 on Sunday. I spent almost a whole hour pushing, making only very little progress. And around 10:05, my doctor asked if it was okay for him to use the vacuum to get Thatcher's head out, as he was stuck and it was only tearing more and more with each push. We agreed to go ahead and do this. With 3 pulls on the vacuum, he was able to get his head out, but then his shoulders became stuck as well. At this point, because his head was out, but the rest of his body was not, the cord was being compressed, causing him to have no oxygen, and his cord was also wrapped around his neck once. All I remember at this point was the doctors and 2 nurses yelling at me to just keep pushing. I no longer was able to take breaks in between pushing, and after 64 hours of no rest and an hour plus of pushing, I was exhausted and my pushes were becoming less and less effective. They realized that I was not going to be able to push the baby out without more help, so one of the nurses jumped up on the bed and was pushing down on my stomach to help facilitate the pushing action while the doctor was pulling Thatcher to get him out. At 10:36, he was born. They had placed him on my chest just for a short moment and then took him away. All I had seen was my baby limp on my chest, gray, and he wasn't making any noises. When they took him to the other side of the room, I made Tyler go with him to make sure he was okay. And one nurse stayed with me because I needed to push out the placenta. And as I'm pushing again for the placenta, all I could do was beg God to save my baby. And I just kept repeating a few short words. God, please save him. And then just the name of Jesus. Because I had nothing else to say. John 14:14. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. During this whole process, we did not know, but they had called in another doctor that I work with very closely at Cornerstone, and just looking across the room and seeing him wheel Thatcher out of the room to the nursery where he worked on him more, I felt at peace. Even Tyler said that once he saw him, he knew that Thatcher was going to be okay. At this point, my doctor had came back over to me and was stitching me back up. I still had no idea how Thatcher was doing. I still had not heard him cry or seen him move. It took them 2 hours to stitch me back up, and during that time, I had Tyler message the parents that they needed to pray for Thatcher. Now, I was not in the waiting room, and I still have only heard stories of what went on, but I knew that my parents, my in-laws, Megan Fury, and Pastor Ivan and Cindy were out there, and that things were going to be taken care of. Later, I also found out that God had spoke to Kathy Snyder, waking her up in the middle of the night to pray for Thatcher, and Pastor Brenda, Grace Burns, Kendra Slawball, and Mandy Neal were all praying for us as well. They had to move me to a different room. After we were done, they were done stitching me back up because of the blood loss and the mess that was in my delivery room. And around 12:30, we were in the new room, and the doctor had come in and give us an update on Thatcher. He was on a CPAP with 100% oxygen flow. Thank you. With 100% oxygen flow and had an IV for the antibiotics because his blood work came back with elevated white counts, which suggests that there is some sort of infection in his body. And they told me that his right arm was not moving. They had done 2 x-rays on that arm. With these, they found that he had fractures in his humerus, but this is common in babies whose shoulders become stuck, and even then, they're still slightly moving their arm. So they had thoughts that he had some damage to his brachial plexus nerve. They offered for us to go to the nursery to see him, but after trying 2 times and passing out both times due to the blood loss from delivery, I could not make it to the from the bed to the wheelchair. Tyler went and saw him and brought back pictures and videos of our little boy. You could barely see his face because of all the tubes. He had a splint on his left leg to hold the IV in place, and you could tell that he was not moving that right arm. Seeing him through pictures and videos was not, and not being able to see him and hold him was hard, but I knew that he was getting the care he needed at the time. Around 2:30, I was finally able to get from the bed to the wheelchair, and they were able to take me to the nursery to see him for the first time. We spent just a short while in there before I started to feel lightheaded again, and they had to take me back to my room. From 10:36 on Sunday night when he was born to 10:30 a.m. the following morning, they were able to get Thatcher's oxygen flow down from 100% on the CPAP to 2 liters on the nasal cannula. And from 10:30 a.m. to noon, he was fully off of oxygen and breathing on his own at room air, keeping his oxygen saturations between 94 and 97%. And that was the first thing that God did in his little body. Due to Thatcher being on IV antibiotics, we had to stay in the hospital until his blood culture came back to see if there was any infection or not, which took 48 hours. Towards the end of the 48 hours, he had complications with the IV that was placed in his foot, and they had to take it out, which made him unable to get his last dose of antibiotics. He was due for the last round around 7 or 8 that night, and they would have had to stick him again another time to give him that last round. But just shortly before he was due for that dose, his culture came back and everything was normal and he had no infection. And that was the second thing that God did for him. As we were getting ready to leave the hospital, Dr. Savopoulos had came in and talked to us more about the long-term things, the things that we were going to see in his arm. He told us that Thatcher did have an injury to his brachial plexus nerve in his right shoulder. This would cause him to not be able to feel that arm and in return not move it. He said that in good cases of this injury, he will start to see movement and improvement within 6 to 9 months, and in worst cases, surgery, which may or may not be successful. For the first 2 months of his life, Thatcher was not able to move his arm at all. At most, he would move his fingers, but even that was very seldom. Slowly, we were seeing more and more improvement. It started out by just small movement in his shoulder, kind of like a little shrug, but he would not pick his arm or bend it. On June 13th, we were laying on a blanket outside in our yard, and I saw him pick up his arm and bend it all on the same day. The movement was fast, and it quickly fell back down to his side, but this it was movement, something we had not seen in the first 2.5 months of his life. Each week after that, we were seeing more and more improvement. At 3 months old, we got a referral to see the neurologist and for PT, just to make sure that there wasn't anything we were missing and to give him the best shot at getting full function back in his arm. On July 24th, we went to the WVU Children's Neurology Clinic and saw 3 different doctors. Tyler and I both assumed that we would walk in, they would look over him, maybe do a few tests and see what all they could do, give us some information and maybe some exercises to improve the strength and dexterity of his arm, and then have us come back for the follow-up in a month or two and go from there. But that was not the case. At this point, the movement in his arm had gotten drastically better, and we thought we were in the clear, that it could only go up from here. But then one of the 3 doctors told us that he thought surgery would be the best fit for his situation, and they wanted to do it as soon as possible. It was a lot to take in all at once, and we did not think that it would come to this point of needing surgery, because all that we had seen was it getting better. We left the appointment with the paper signed and all the information on how to prep Thatcher the night before his surgery, knowing that they were going to call me with a surgery date in just a few days. The following Monday, we had his first PT appointment, and when we had mentioned how the neurology appointment went, she was kind of shocked that they wanted to do surgery so soon with the improvement that he was making. We left PT with exercises to do at home, and we will have PT once a week for the next 5 to 6 weeks. On August 21st, we go back to the neurologist, and on September 3rd, Thatcher has a scheduled surgery. But in just two weeks' time frame from when we last saw the neurologist to now, Thatcher has started to not only move his hand more, turning it inward, which was our biggest issue, but also he's noticing his right hand. For the first time in 4 months, I saw him bring his hand up in front of his face and stare at it as he moved it around. This is the third thing that God has done for my child. The injury that doctors said would take 6 to 9 months to start to see improvement, in my opinion, is almost completely healed in only 4 months. I was reminded by Teresa Holder when we went to the Awaken Conference in June that God did not give us this miracle child for him to walk through life hurt and broken, that he is going to restore his body to the fullest, and Thatcher will use his story to show others just how faithful his God is. 2 days after he was born, when Becky came to see us in the hospital, she said that she was taken back at how I was reacting to the whole situation when they had first came to see us. And after he was born, I had still not even seen him. She said that I was still happy and did not seem worried. And she said that God placed the song Firm Foundation on her heart. And the second verse of that song says, I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now? He won't. Even though there was a part of me that was worried for my baby, there is an even bigger part of me that it was at peace, because I knew that God had him in the palm of his hands, and he is faithful to those who delight in him. When you delight in the Lord and keep his commandments, he will be faithful to you in everything that you are going through, and he will never let you stumble too far away from him. You can go ahead and stand with us. We're going to sing another song.
Good evening, everybody. When we were asked to pick a verse that means a lot to us, I picked Psalms 18:2. This verse is a good representation of who the Lord is to us. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation." David characterized God's care with five symbols. God is like a rock, a fortress, a shield, a horn, and a stronghold. He's not just the rock, he is my rock. He's not just the fortress, he is my fortress. He is not just the deliverer, he's my deliverer. He's not just a savior, he is my savior. He's not just the shield, he is my shield. He's not just God, he's my God. The Lord is my rock. Rock represents an immovable foundation that can't be shaken. All of us at some point in our life have faced something hard, whether it be losing a loved one, a sickness, a bad diagnosis from a doctor, a difficult situation, anxiety, or depression. In times of trouble, when it feels like the situation is too much to handle, it gives us peace knowing that God is our rock. There is no one we can trust more than our God. There have been many times in my life where the Lord has been my rock. He's been my rock through college, taking a million tests and failing them, teaching, getting married, miscarriages, having a baby, losing my grandpa, and my everyday life. The Lord is my fortress. A fortress is a place of safety where the enemy can't follow. We can be influenced by our peers, social media, the news, things we watch, and things we listen to. But the Lord cannot be influenced. He cannot be shaken. God is our mighty fortress. Nothing can defeat him, including the enemy. The Lord is my deliverer. Deliverer means you are removed from pain or from a situation. An example of someone in the Bible that has been delivered is Daniel. Daniel 6:19-23. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in God. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered him because he trusted in God. He wasn't physically delivered, but instead God took the danger away by shutting the mouths of the lions. Another example is, Jesus died on the cross for us. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. If you trust in God, you can be delivered from anything. You can be delivered from sin, danger, the power of darkness, anxiety, depression, addiction, shame, fear, unworthiness, sickness, hopelessness, doubt, and comparison. God has delivered me. He has delivered me from anxiety and fear. God is my rock in whom I take refuge. A refuge is a place of resort and safety. It is like finding a safe place during a storm. God is the supplier of protection and safety as we face danger. When you are in danger and running from the enemy, always remember God is your refuge. He is your place of safety. Call out to him and he will answer. God is the shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. A shield is described as something that comes between us and harm. God comes between us and harm. God provides protection for us. He provides protection from the enemy. Satan tries to kill, steal, and destroy, but God is our shield and he will protect us. God cares for us and loves us. I always think of my amazing earthly father. I think about how his desire is to protect his family, care for us, and love us. He tries to protect my mom, my sisters, and I by coming between us and harm. He does everything he possibly can to make sure that he does those things and we're never harmed. So imagine how much your earthly father tries to keep you from harm, to protect you. Imagine how much the God of the universe, our heavenly Father, wants to protect his children and defeat the enemy. He is our shield. He is our protector. A horn is used to describe God because he has the strength and the power to save. He has the strength and the power to save the prodigal, to save the drug addict, to save the alcoholic, to save the one who doesn't believe, to save the brokenhearted, to save the person overcome with grief. He uses his power to secure and protect his people. God is my God. All of the characteristics and attributes about God are amazing. Thinking about this verse describes exactly who he is to us. He is my God. He is your God. He is my rock. He is your rock. He is my deliverer. He is your deliverer. He is my shield. He is your shield. He is my protector. He is your protector. He has the strength and the power to save me. He has the strength and the power to save you. All you have to do is call on him.
Amen. That's who our God is. Let's stand and sing about it and worship him. He's a good God.
For all. Hello, everyone. My verse was from Psalm 86:5, and this is how it goes. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, rich in faithful love to all who call on you. So there's these two Bible stories that really came to mind. I could talk about myself when it comes to God's forgiveness and forgiving us, but I'll just talk more about these Bible stories that show where people messed up in the Bible, so I don't have to give you all my dirty laundry. So first, we'll look at Jonah. Jonah was given instructions from God to go to Nineveh, and Jonah ran the other way. It was kind of actually more difficult for him to run the other way that he was going than to run to Nineveh. Fun fact there. But he had actively defied what God had wanted him to do. But then, after he runs away and is on the ship and gets thrown overboard to solve the problem of the storm, he gets swallowed by a big fish. And that's in chapter 2. He is actually praying to God from inside the fish. So I'm going to read that. I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help in the belly of Sheol. You heard my voice. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. All your breakers and your billows swept over me. But I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. The waters engulfed me up to the neck. The watery depths overcame me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foundations of the mountains. The earth with its prison bars closed behind me forever. But you raised my life from the pit, Lord my God. As my life was fading away, I remembered Yahweh. Your prayer came to me to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake faithful love. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will fulfill what I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah to dry land. So after Jonah was praying to God in the fish, God called the fish to spit him out onto the land. And then God has said again, the same thing he said in chapter 1. In chapter 3, he said, go to Nineveh and give them the message that I have for them. And after this experience that Jonah went through, he obeyed and was able to deliver his message to Nineveh, which caused them to turn. But verse 8 says, those who cling to the worthless idols forsake his faithful love. And faithful love is terminology used in the previous verse. And, well, it's just a focus on us not needing to focus on worthless idols. But going back to Nineveh and Jonah speaking to Nineveh, in Jonah speaking to Nineveh, he was redeemed. He redeemed himself from what he had been actively running away. Now Jonah gets a little more into more trouble in chapter 4. But now we're going to go to the prodigal son, which is another area where a father's forgiveness is shown. And I'm going to read that also. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me more like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. For he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring me the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The prodigal son threw away his whole inheritance. It was really like a spit into the face of his father, asking him for it before his father even had passed on, and then going and squandering it. And even after this, his father accepted him back. And God still wants those who have turned his back on them, like Jonah and like the prodigal son, who have actively went against what their fathers have, to come back to them. And his love, his faithful love, is still there. No one is too far gone for Jesus, and he is always calling them. And no one's done too much evil for God to use them. Paul was a Christian killer. He ended up writing a lot of the New Testament. I think I'm missing a page. Anyways, Paul wrote a lot of New Testament. He wrote letters to Timothy, discipling the Christians of the church. Is there a paper over there? If not, I can wing it. All righty. But God used him to write in the New Testament, discipling the church of Jesus Christ. And the fact is, God wants to use us even though we're imperfect. And sometimes we can be really hard on ourselves and see our imperfections and align ourselves with our imperfections. But that's not operating the forgiveness that God has given us. Everyone is separated from God by sin, yet he wants to use all of us. And what is an honor that we are still able to be used by him, despite what we have done. There's been times, and I'll talk about some of my dirty laundry now. In my family, I used to make the brownies, and then I made them twice perfect, you know, like amazing, because I followed the instructions, because I was like, you know, just starting out, I didn't want to mess up at all. And then I got comfortable, and I was like, oh yeah, this is how you do it, da 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 da. And one time I replaced the oil with water, so I did like double the amount of water I needed, like no oil. And it ended up being more like a cake. Yet, even though I made this mistake in brownies, this is my fake dirty laundry, by the way. I mean, it really happened, but anyways. My family would still trust me to make brownies, even though I already messed up, and I messed up the brownies before. They still trusted me and forgave me for messing up the brownies. Just like this, but not just like this. We have greatly sinned against God, directly or indirectly, whether we've been like Jonah and completely just looked at him and been like, I'm not doing that, I'm going away, or whether we've been more on just ignoring him because we think he can't see us doing things, or we think we can get away with things. We've all spit in his face in this way. Yet he wants to work through us because he is the one who is ready to forgive with his faithful love. He is the one that wants to redeem us from our mistakes and use us with what he created us to be. So I know this is a Wednesday night service, and Wednesday nighters, you wouldn't, like, you know, you come to church pretty often or frequently. But if you feel the way that you have sinned too much for God, or you can't be used by him, his love is faithful, and he's ready to forgive you. And this is also a message that we as Christians are called to go out into the world and tell people that they are not too broken for Jesus, because Jesus is the one who redeems us and heals us, and he's the one that forgives us our sins. So go out and do that, and I'm good.
Time.
crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we
God good. Amen. I'm so thankful for the word that was given tonight. Tells us all about who God is, what he does, how faithful he is, how strong he is, how compassionate and forgiving he is. That's who our God is. We need to believe who he is and what he can do and what he has already done in our life. We're going to invite everyone to stay for our time of fellowship. Miss Amy, what end of the table will they start with? That end here? Okay, at this end. So if you'll come down this far aisle and just make your way in front of the table, select your dessert. There's drinks at the end of the table. You can go out into the hallway, into the fellowship hall, or you can come back into the sanctuary and sit, whatever you'd like to do. But thank you all for being here tonight and for everyone that took part. It was great. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for our time with you tonight, God. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that was thread throughout our worship, God, and throughout your word. God, may we continue to dwell on the word that was spoken to us tonight, God, as it finds its place deep in our hearts and in our spirits. God, we pray you'll bless each one that's here. Bless our time of fellowship and the dessert we're about to partake of. We ask all this in your name and thank you for it. Amen.